Welcome to Cryptonomics, Principles of Cryptocurrency and Investing. Just still here in County Clare for a few more days and then ahead to Dublin and then to Portugal. Traveling around, enjoying the good life here in Europe. So the other day, talked to my friend Chris Guida. We talk about whether it would be a good time to get back into cryptocurrency and which cryptocurrencies, bitcoins or altcoins, should people be looking at. So thank you so much for all those people liking on Facebook and subscribing on YouTube and re-steaming and getting into the discussion on Steemit. Much appreciated. It's a very respectful discussion there on Steemit, which is amazing to see on social media. Let's get into it. Is it a good time to buy cryptocurrency now that the prices are low? Which cryptos would you recommend buying?
First question, yes. Second question, Bitcoin.
Yeah, I'd say generally yes. This is an interesting one because I'm not sure if I'd recommend buying anything but Bitcoin at this point because of this uncertainty about 51% attacks. I'm not sure which cryptos are really resistant to that. Obviously, Bitcoin is because the market cap is so big, it's harder to do, or the hashing power and everything.
Yeah.
It's harder to do an attack against it.
Yeah. Are you talking about the 51% attack that happened on ETC?
Ethereum Classic, yeah.
Yeah. That isn't a huge problem for ETC. I don't know if you noticed the price actually didn't go down that much. Right. I mean, basically, it kind of just put people on alert that they should, especially exchanges, because exchanges are the ones who lost money in that. That right. They should put their threshold, their confirmation threshold, you know, much higher than it was. So they had their, you know, they had their confirmation threshold set at like a few minutes or something like that. Mm. And so after that attack, they set it at like an hour, which is what it is for Bitcoin on a lot of exchanges. So it just goes to show you that just because the blocks are coming out faster, it doesn't necessarily mean the chain is
the security.
Still secure. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not really worried at all. Like that wouldn't be something that would scare you away from altcoins, even though you're not a big advocate of altcoins, but.
Yeah, well, actually I do hold some ETC and I should probably just get rid of it. I'm probably about to get rid of it actually pretty soon. I thought that Turing complete smart contracts were going to be a lot more secure than they turned out to be. But ever since the DAO hack, I've been like, oh, okay, I guess this isn't going to be very secure. You know, I mean, basically when you have a Turing complete smart contract, then the more money that gets piled on top of that smart contract, the more incentive there is for hackers to come and try to exploit the contract to get that money. So, you know, we saw, I think the most money ever managed by a smart contract was probably the DAO. And it was like $100 million or $200 million or something like that. And, you know, like most of it just got stolen. And then they forked, you know, to make it not stolen anymore. At that point, I was like, okay, well, that shouldn't be allowed to happen. Like the ledger should be sacrosanct. But like the ledger should never get changed, even if a bunch of people lose money. Because at that point, you're basically reverting back to, okay, we have this central group of people who can make decisions, and we can erase transactions that happen. And that's specifically what Bitcoin was invented to avoid. So when Ethereum Classic first came out, I was like, oh, well, this seems like the better fork of Ethereum. But now I'm just like, oh,
yeah,
neither fork is probably going to do that well. I mean, maybe in the long run. You know, maybe in like 20 years or something like that, but I just don't see it happening.
Well, I think the idea is good, but yeah, I don't know if a Turing complete smart contract is even necessary, but I didn't get that deep technically with it.
It's not.
Yeah.
That's what the Lightning Network is. It's smart contracts which are not Turing complete. They're just, you know, very specific operations on in Bitcoin script.
The other thing was about Ethereum, like with CryptoKitties, when that came out, it got really popular. It slowed down the entire network. And it's like, okay, so you finally found a real use case that people were interested in. and it crashed the network. Well, not crashed, but slowed it right down.
Exactly. No, it's great, you know, that all these altcoins are around, because it's kind of lending legitimacy to Bitcoin. People are like, why doesn't Bitcoin try these things? And it's like, this is why.
So, yeah.
That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. So it is definitely a good time to buy now. The market's at a 1-year low.
Yeah, and I would add that the altcoins basically follow Bitcoin, but much more volatilely.
Yes.
If Bitcoin goes up 50%, altcoins are likely to go up 100% or 200% or something like that. So basically, you know, whatever Bitcoin does, the altcoins are going to do, but just more. So if you feel like Bitcoin has bottomed out, it actually might be a good play to start buying some altcoins right now, because whenever Bitcoin goes back up, the altcoins should go up even more than that. Which altcoins do I think show promise? Yeah, I guess which altcoins do I hold right now? Dash, ETC, Monero, Litecoin. Yeah, I mean, I stick to the ones that are kind of tried and true. I don't like ICOs or kind of new altcoins unless I'm just gonna try and basically pump it up, like just take advantage of a bubble that I see like is about to happen, and then try to sell at the top. I did that once with what was it, Lisk, when that first came out. They were like, we're like Ethereum, but we use, I forget what it was. It was like,
Spangled Mimble Wimbles.
Yeah, exactly. We're like Ethereum, but different, and we have better buzzword. I was like, okay, this sounds like it might, you know, make me some money, you know, if I just buy it and then sell it real quick. So I tripled my money on that. I usually don't do that because it takes a lot of planning, and you've got to like set your sells, and you know, it's just a lot of work. It's really easy to just find an asset that you think is going to perform well over the long term and just, you know, accumulate it over time and then just hold on to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it is hard to say what's really classed as long term now. So it's like, sometimes it feels like I get into a project, I buy some to speculate on it, and then later, after a year or so, maybe it hasn't, they haven't really fulfilled on their promises, and I'm wondering which direction it's really going.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, most, the problem with altcoins is that, you know, a lot of the good cryptocurrency developers are pretty much already working on other cryptocurrencies, you know, so these white papers and ICOs that come out, I think it's slowing down. I haven't heard about many new ICOs these days. I think people are kind of losing interest in them because, you know, like in the early days, like for like Lisk, for instance, that was kind of like an earlier ICO. That was before, you know, they started hyping everybody up for the ICO. Like it used to be like you heard about it from like some source that was kind of hard to access, and then you know you could buy at a really cheap price. And then you could wait until everybody heard about it. And when everybody heard about it, it would spike up. But if everybody's already heard about your ICO before the coin's even launched, then you're basically buying it at a really high price. And so it's really not likely to go up from there. It's probably going to go down. You want to buy into things before everybody has heard about them.
Yes. Or after they forget about them, like right now with crypto. Or,
yeah. Yeah, definitely.
With the ICO thing, I do think it's probably just a sign of the cycle. So I think in another year or even 2 years, there'll probably be a whole bunch of other ICOs coming out, and everybody and their dog will be releasing one.
Probably. Yeah, another thing that that you have to watch out for with Bitcoin is the halvening. Every time the supply halves, so there was one in 2012, and there was one in 2016, and the next one is in 2020. And whenever that happens, around when it halves, like before and after, there's usually a pretty big upswing. And that probably has to do with miners not being able to sell as many Bitcoins.
As in, they're not generating as many.
They're not generating as many as they were before. So there, isn't basically the sell pressure from miners is just suddenly cut in half. Mm. And usually, I think the last one, the market kind of priced that in. But in the process of pricing it in, you saw an upswing. You saw some kind of new local highs that weren't as high as the previous high, but like the bear market was over basically. And yes. Whenever the bear market ends, that's when people start getting in again. So
yeah.
That's the start of the next bubble. So watch out for that in 2020.
Yeah, good advice. Thanks again for tuning in to Cryptonomics. Remember to jump onto Facebook and press like, jump onto YouTube and press subscribe. Keep it cool, play it cool, leave a comment on Steam It. Ask a question for a future episode. I'm sure I'll be talking to Chris again soon. Thank you so much. Take care and stay grateful.